Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Chris Rolfe, who is the founder of Boulder SEO Marketing, which is a top-rated Denver, Boulder, and Los Angeles-based full-service SEO agency. Today, we're going to be discussing Chris's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh man, definitely I like the lifestyle of being, you know, in control of my own destiny. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work for anybody else at this point. That was a big motivation, you know, to become an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Very organized. I like to do things the way I do. I'm a micromanager, sadly. You know, it's not always the best thing, but I learned that, you know, apparently I have the skills to run an agency. So yeah, I just want to be in control of my own destiny, and it seems to be working out pretty well.
Awesome. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I'm originally from Switzerland, and I used to work for an American financial corporation that was about, nearly 30 years ago. They translated the German website in the US, and I did the marketing for the Zurich office. And they hard-coded all the content that was put up on the website for the German-speaking market. And that's right at that time the search engines emerged. And I thought, hey, how can the search engine read the text, right, if everything is hard-coded? So that's sort of how I got into SEO. And from there, I learned everything myself. I learned how to code a little bit, just learned everything from the very beginning. And ever since, I've been fascinated with search engines, how the algorithms work, and, you know, how you can get to the top in Google.
Amazing. So tell us about your journey of starting Boulder SEO Marketing and, you know, why you decided to start your agency.
Yeah. So I was a marketing executive once we moved back to the US over here. And then one day I just had it with corporate America. It's not for me. I had it with being an employee. I read that morning a newspaper, my horoscope. I don't really believe in that, but it said, if you don't make a change today, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, while it was in the shower, I decided, hey, I'm going to start my own business. In my towel, went to my computer, wrote my letter of resignation, and I had, I think, a month to give myself to actually build a website, get started with the company. That was it, you know, and then I worked every day, about 12 hours for about 2 years, and but I was profitable about 2-3 months into launching my own company.
Amazing. So how did you bring on those first few clients when you first started out?
I started to do workshops right away. I started to do speaking engagements, meetup and all that kind of stuff. And then LinkedIn. I was an early adapter of LinkedIn. People saw that I started my own company. They reached out, and I reached out to other potential customers. Mm-hmm. And I think 2 months into having started that business, I already had to hire people. And from them, I mean, it truly was a success story. And I think the thing is, like, I didn't really care if I succeeded or not. It was just something I had to do. So I didn't really care, you know, and I think that's a mindset that you need to have as an entrepreneur. You cannot think that you're going to fail. You just have to do it. And
yeah,
it worked out.
That's so interesting. So what were some of those challenges that you had early on in the early days?
Well, I just bought a house, just got divorced. So I was a part-time single dad, had a big mortgage payment, you know, I pay for daycare for the kids. So definitely money.
Yeah.
That was a big thing, you know, you need to be able to pay your bills. So, but it was also motivation to really be successful right away. Mm-hmm. But definitely, you know, if you start out with a new business, you got to make sure you can pay your bills. Otherwise, you're going to fail. Then,
yeah.
Managing the workload, you know, at the beginning you want to do everything yourself, so you have to learn how to, you know, hire people, trust them, make them part of the team, train them to make sure they do exactly the way things you would do it, right? So that's mm-hmm. another challenge. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you're going to wear, you know, dozens of hats, you know, make sure you spend your time wisely on the right task. You don't obsess with certain things. Let things go. You know, you cannot do everything. So I apply the Eisenhower principle. Some of your listeners may be familiar with that principle. You have to stick to that. You know, not important, not urgent. Just don't do it. Get rid of it. Urgent, important, do it yourself. I mean, I'm not going to go through it here. But I applied the principle and I still do it. It really helped me become successful.
That's so interesting. So now, what is your primary method of bringing leads into your agency? Are you still doing, you know, the workshops and public speaking? What does that look like now?
I mean, since starting my own business, I have positioned myself, or I like emerged as one of the leading international multilingual SEO experts in the world.
Oh, very cool.
So I get a lot of speaking gigs. I speak in front of thousands of people every year. So just that alone, you know, people seeing me as an expert in this field, I get a lot of recognition this way. Just that alone gets us a lot of business, right? Then obviously we know how to do SEO. So we optimize our own website. We primarily only try to accept leads that find us organically. Through our website, because those are the best leads that, you know, we want to work with. And then we also accept referral clients and people that attend one of my speaks. So that's the primary source of leads that we want to work with.
Okay, interesting. So if someone was interested in, you know, putting a workshop together, for example, would you have any tips that could sort of get them started with doing that?
It has to be really good content. You have to be willing and able to give everything away, even your best secrets. I mean, there's no secrets when it comes to SEO. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. So we used to do these live in-person events. Obviously, COVID put a halt to that. Mm-hmm. So we went online. We did a lot of webinars, online workshops. They're now all recorded. They're now available for free on our website. Just go to boulderseomarketing.com, go to the training section. Mm-hmm. Everything is on demand available. We're giving away our best content. Then people end up on our email list. We don't do any kind of hard selling. We share a weekly SEO tip to keep in touch with those people that are interested in our content. And then, you know, when they're ready, they reach out to us if they need help with SEO.
Okay, that's really interesting. And then, so how do you guys kind of differentiate yourselves from other marketing agencies? Is it the bilingual factor?
No, so SEO has completely changed over the last year and a half. There were massive algorithm updates that have changed everything. When this happened, I took a few moments to reflect on what has changed with SEO. I developed the SEO strategy framework. It's basically how SEO works today. Out of that SEO strategy framework, micro SEO strategies emerged. It's basically a methodology that allows us now to basically outrank any website in the world. Even a smaller company, we can place them before Amazon, Walmart, Target, like these big, you know, e-commerce companies.
That's so cool. It is
totally, yeah, it's totally possible. So most of my speeches that I do now, I talk about these micro SEO strategies.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how we can really help and even micro companies to get to the top in Google.
That's so cool. I love that. So what are some tips that you have for creating really happy clients who are, you know, going to talk about you and just, you know, bring in referrals at the end of the day?
Yeah. Under promise, over deliver. A lot of agents or like customers that come to us, you know, they worked with an agency that promised them all these crazy results. It's not possible. You will fail as an agency if you over promise, under deliver. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fact of matter when I talk with prospective customers. I'm like, look, here's how it works. So we educate our customers before we take them on to make sure they fully understand how SEO works, how long it's going to take to see results, how they need to be part of the process. And then, you know, we create a 6-month plan that we're going to implement for them. And I tell them, look, things will change based on future algorithm updates, based on, you know, this and that, you know. Things will change, but we're going to get to the results that we're looking for if you give us time, if we can work together. So everything is, you know, there's no crazy surprises or anything. It's just like, this is hard work that we're going to do for you and we're going to get you there. Give us a little bit of time. And then we do, we communicate on a regular basis with our customers, like daily emails, phone calls, you know, weekly or bi-weekly check-in calls, and then understandable reporting at the end of the month. So we over communicate until they tell us, hey, slow it down a little bit. But that keeps them happy and informed and super transparent. They know everything we do. They can come to our office, sit in meetings with us. So we explain everything, just complete transparency.
Interesting. Okay. So just really managing those expectations and then dialing in that communication as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
That's a very good question. And I look back to it very painfully. We grew way too fast. We sort of like, I wouldn't say we imploded, but we made mistakes. You know, we're really good at SEO, so we get more leads than we can handle. You don't have to take on every client. You have to take on the clients that are the best fit for you. So we took on way too many clients, and sadly, we weren't able to properly keep up with, you know, what we promised, what we told them. We had to go back to the drawing board, did a lot of fixing, get things right. We had to stop taking on new clients. We, you know, there was a for like 3, 4, 5 months where we actually lost money because we really had to go back and deliver as promised. But we went back to our clients and we told them, look, yeah, we made mistakes, but we're going to make it right. So it took about 4, 5, 6 months. But now we're in a position where we're only going to take on 2-3 clients every month. We're going to grow slowly, but with our clients in sync. So that's, I think, mistakes a lot of agencies make. You know, they get way too many clients and then not able to service their customers properly.
So in what way specifically were you not able to service your customers? Was it, you know, that your team wasn't properly equipped to just scale that quickly? What kind of things were falling through the cracks?
A lot of things. You know, it's from just tasks took longer to implement than what we told our customers we would do. You know, the content that we created was not as good as we told them it would be. because we had to hire writers that weren't properly trained in the subject matter. It's just like we made the typical mistakes, you know. Yeah. Luckily, we made those mistakes, so we were able to fix them and make it right for our clients.
Interesting. Okay. So what would you say has been, you know, the biggest, you know, learning lesson along the way that you'd like to share with any up and coming agency owners?
This can be a painful path because it's a very exciting and you will get clients if you know how to do SEO. You know, you probably find people will find you. They want to work with you. Have your ducks in a row. Make sure you have good processes in place. We're still, even now, you know, we're fine-tuning our processes. We're, you know, finding new resources that can help us implement the work that we do. Mm-hmm. It's okay to outsource certain things, but you always one of the in-house project manager has to QA everything. Don't send things to your clients if you outsource certain tasks without looking at them. Everything has
good advice.
Everything has to be QA'd. Don't just outsource to somebody else and let them send the stuff to your customers. Everything has to be checked in-house. Processes need to be documented. Extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I have a couple questions. So the first one is, what are your thoughts on, you know, working with freelancers versus having an in-house team? Is there something that you would recommend one over the other?
So we do both, right? We now have a team actually in India, but it took a long time to find the right partner. It's also a smaller agency. Mm-hmm. And we have like a dedicated project manager in India. You know, we go to see them, meet in person. We now have a dedicated team of, you know, I wouldn't even call them freelancers, but it sort of like falls into the same category, right? Mm-hmm. They're not our employees, but we have the same dedicated team that works with our team. It's just like we need to be competitive, right? And
yeah,
certain tasks, it just does not make sense to have them done in-house here in the US. It's very expensive to find these resources.
Yeah.
And then, so when we get to a point where it's warranted, we're going to hire more people in-house, you know, content writers, project managers, QA personnel, etc. But as long as you have a right balance with, you know, in-house resources versus, you know, outsourced resources. Mm-hmm. Sense. But then, yeah, you know, ideally, you know, I want to hire more people here in the US, but certain tasks you should outsource to other locations so that you can stay competitive.
Okay. Interesting. So just kind of finding that balance, that happy medium there. Okay.
Absolutely.
So as you've been growing and scaling the agency, have you worked with a coach along the way to kind of help you guys, like, you know, dial in those processes and just sort of fast track your learning along the way?
Yeah. So my business partner, I gave 49% of the company to a business partner. It finally was time to, you know, do that step, right? He actually works with a coach. I don't, but he walks away with really good ideas working with that coach. I'm not that type of person that wants to work with a coach. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of research myself. I make mistakes along the way, but I always learn from these mistakes. And mm-hmm. for me, it's like, it does not work working with a coach. For my business partner, it works absolutely. So yeah, again, but finding the balance, who does it work for?
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, yeah, we are getting ready to start wrapping up here soon, but yeah, I'd love to know, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
You know, I'm probably getting close to potentially implementing somebody else like me in 5 years, mm-hmm. 3 to 5 years, you can do what I do. Either that, or then we get asked a lot, you know, other companies want to buy us. So, you know, if there's a right fit, you know, I may sell the company. That's mm-hmm. just what happens, right? Yep. But I'm totally open to either staying on the board, replacing myself with somebody else who can do what I do, or potentially, you know, cash out and sell to somebody that we feel comfortable selling to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting. And actually, I would also love to pick your brain a little bit about, you know, what makes a good business partner? You know, what did you look for in an individual when you were going to bring them on as a partner?
Yeah, I never thought I would do that. But we first worked together. He first worked for me in, you know, as a sort of like employee capacity. Mm-hmm. Then, so I'm really good with sales, marketing. I'm the SEO brain, and my business partner ran a web design agency for 20 years. So similar background, but we're very good in very different disciplines, and we just realized we need each other to be more successful.
Yes.
And then, so we got to know each other for about, you know, a year and a half, a couple of years. And mm-hmm. then you need to like that person. You don't need to be best friends. But we actually like each other. We go out for beers. You know, we trust each other. So mm-hmm. we sort of had, you know, we dated for a while and then we got engaged. And then, you know, the time was right to, hey, here, you now own nearly half of the company. And it's just like, you know, you have to have respect for each other. There's no yelling at each other. Everything is, hey, let's keep it calm and, you know, we have the same goal, right? So that really worked out well.
Yeah. I think having a partner that has complementary skills and assets to what you have is so important when you're bringing on a partner. And I agree 100% with the communication aspect, you know, just always keeping in mind, you know, preserving that relationship and always thinking, you know, how you're communicating. Am I, you know, coming across clearly and respectfully? I think it's so important.
Yeah, and it's just, I want to throw out a book book title. It's called I Never Thought of It That Way. It's all about communicating, you know, even if you have complete opposite opinion on certain things. I can highly recommend that book to any business owner. On how to, you know, approach communication. There's no need to yell at each other. You can get this done right.
Yeah, I love the title of that book. It's a pretty powerful title.
It is.
Awesome. So we are now getting ready to move on to the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So that book that I'm reading right now, and then another book that I absolutely love. It's called It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. It's written by the founders of Basecamp.
Oh, cool.
An absolute must, in my opinion, for any business owner.
That's awesome. I definitely want to read that book. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I usually get up early, coffee, ideally with my wife, read the Swiss newspaper online. It's just like good information in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Google News Feed to catch up on SEO, the latest SEO developments. They automatically feed me with that. Then I do email, the most urgent emails. I try to do 30 minutes of yoga, if possible, shower, breakfast, and then get to work.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
A big fan of Jean-Paul Dehoria. He's the founder of the tequila maker Patron. Awesome, amazing person. Went from homeless to becoming a billionaire. He's known for his hands-on approach to everything he does. Very calm, collected. The CIA hired him to assist with management training program. I mean, I can go on forever, but this is somebody I look up to.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's such an inspiring story. Yeah. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh man, absolutely. It's called SE Ranking. It's an SEO tool, Ukrainian-based company, SE Ranking. I use it every day, all day long. It's probably the only SEO tool that we use at my shop, and we absolutely need it. I can highly recommend this tool, SE Ranking.
Okay, perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh man, I wish I had known that I actually am an entrepreneur, that I can run a business. I wish I would have started way earlier.
Yeah.
So if you think you have it in you to be an entrepreneur, just go for it. As young as whenever, it just doesn't matter. Just do it.
Yeah. You're going to screw up along the way. Don't be afraid of that failure and just dive right in.
Oh yeah. Make mistakes. It's the best thing you can do, and then do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Chris. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.